Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow.
Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So far we read God's holy word. John recording here the message of Christ to Nicodemus and his answer. Let's pray that we will have understanding of it, that he will give us the new birth. It's all a gift of God, all by God's choice. He knows we need it, and without it, we stay in darkness. Let's pray that, as we said last week, we voted for darkness. We voted for death in our country. One of the reasons is that we've denied God as creator. And as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, when we do not give God glory as the creator, our foolish hearts are darkened. And that's where we are today. Let's pray that God again will give us the light of Christ. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come through him who is the way, the truth, and the life. We come to him who was born and given the name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. We give thanks that, as we sang, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow, and they shall be as white as snow. And we pray that we may know them as scarlet, that we may know them in repentance, acknowledging them as thou dost describe us in thy word, that we may come to full submission to that. And as little children, learn that in the repentance, and learn the way of faith, the new and living way in Christ. We pray in his name that thou wilt teach many that, for good be thy will. We hear from many sources there are less and less entering the church. And we also hear, sadly, that the church is lessening, especially that the young people are going away, and we are in a day of falling away and falling towards sin. And we pray, Father, that there might be an awakening, there might be a reviving, there might be, again, a quickening by thy Spirit to those of us that are too dead in sin in the church and totally dead in the outside the church. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on the church first, and then we also pray for the many needs that there are of suffering in the war-torn land of Ukraine, all the suffering and death of those under the lie of Islam, those that are suffering for righteousness' sake in every land, the homeless in our country in Haiti. And we pray, Father, for those suffering in sickness and injury, that thou would give healing to them if it could be thy will. And for those that are left in their illness through life, thou would give them the grace to bear under it and to learn through it the brevity of life and the need to prepare for death. We pray for our homes, especially the broken homes, that it may be recognized how serious this is for the country and that it is taking the country down, and also what it does to the next generation. And we pray that the church might see its fault in it, that it is guilty with the world, promoting and agreeing with divorce and remarriage wrongly. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on the children, that they will have thy word, and that they might have a true light in their path when they do not have it in their home and from some churches that have no light and follow the way of darkness and death. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on our government, our leaders, that thou will put thy fear in their hearts once again. We know there's nothing impossible with thee, even in this time of sad declension in government, that we are going toward the wrong way of other nations that deny thee, live in the way of lies. We are going away from thee, our creator, our lawgiver, and especially in regard to the unborn. We pray that we might see the terribleness of that sin when 2,000 or 3,000 babies are murdered every day, almost beyond our grasp and comprehension to think of that, to think of the reality of it, and make us know the reality of it. Make us to know it in repentance, lest judgment come upon us, and our lives will be required because theirs have been taken. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are, and the hungry, the suffering in many different ways, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at these words once again, we need to think of them as George Whitefield was asked why he preached so often on the new birth. His answer was very simple. Because you must be born again. Have you known that? Have you known that you must be born again? Do you know with David that in sin did my mother conceive me? And we were born after Adam ate of the forbidden tree, that all of us were born dead in sin. Adam was told, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he died spiritually. He died losing his right relationship with God and wanted to hide from him. We have the same thing here when we read that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We want to stay in the dark. We do not want, especially Christ, who is the light of the world, to be our teacher. And then if we don't have him as a teacher, we won't have him as a savior. He said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then a little farther in the same audience, he says, if the Son will set you free, you shall be free indeed. We must see him here teaching about the new birth, but also we know that the new birth comes from him and through him, as well as by the Spirit of the living God. So we have much involved in the new birth. We have the Spirit itself, as Christ said, must be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And also, we know that the Word of God is involved. Wherever the new birth takes place, God will send the Word. As James tells us, he quickened us and brought us to the truth through the Word. Paul tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I think we can say that is what's meant here. And the second time that Christ is describing the new birth, verse 5 of John chapter 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water, I believe there, means the Word. The Word is always involved wherever we are made alive in Christ. And when we come to eat of him by faith, as he said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. That's all done by the hearing of the Word, by the gospel preached to us and the gospel believed. The gospel is Christ dying for our sins according to the Scripture, being buried and rising again according to the Scripture. That is part of the new birth. It's hard to say. Some people have a different opinion. Are we born again the moment the Spirit begins to work in us? Or are we not born again until we eat and drink of Christ? And I think fullness of it is really until we eat and drink in Christ. Before that, we're convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment. It is the beginning work of the Spirit in conviction. But then he makes us know that we haven't believed, that we don't have faith in Christ, that we are wrong. And that is not yet really the new birth. It is God preparing us for it and working in us. As I said, there's a difference of opinion amongst theologians how to understand that. But as Nicodemus said, how can these things be? God can show them to us and lead us in it. That's the most important thing. And that's what we should pray for. Pray to understand these words rightly. Pray to have them worked in our heart. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I know we're repeating this, but we need to repeat it because it's so misunderstood. As I've said before, there are those who identify this with only one group of churches, and they don't identify it with their own denominations, and especially where we come close to being like Judaism, where people believe they are children of Abraham by birth, the natural birth, rather than the spiritual birth. John the Baptist says, "Say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." The same thing was true here for Nicodemus. He was certainly in the bloodline of being one with Abraham, but he had to be born again before he could be truly Abraham's son. And all of us, whether men or women, have to be born again to become children of Abraham. As Paul writes to the Galatians, he that hath Christ is one of Abraham's seed. We must know it in the way of the new birth. We must know it in the way of the gospel. After Christ speaks to him of the new birth, as we have seen it in past weeks and today again, then he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As I've said before, there the gospel is given in shadow, in type. Moses was a type of what God was doing to Israel at the time. He had to lift up the serpent in the wilderness when Israel murmured and sinned, and God was sending the fiery serpents among them to punish them. And when he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, they could look to that serpent and be healed. And so he is a type of what Christ is also lifted up. As he said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have eternal life. And then we have the next verse, as often said, the most known verse in the Bible, but I think we could also sadly say, unknown. Unknown in its great need. Unknown from a perishing way. How many people read this and believe they are perishing? How many read this and believe they are lost? We can only be saved from a lost condition, and we need to hear the gospel for that. Sometimes we hear the way of sin before the gospel is spoken of plainly. Paul writes much of sin when he writes to the church at Rome, chapters 1, 2, and 3. The last part of the first chapter, the first part of the third chapter. After that, he says, but now the righteousness of God is revealed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. He gives there the answer after describing so plainly the problem of sin, especially the first part of Romans chapter 3. Also, with the Philippian jailer, Paul said to him when he asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Some people just think that's all he said. That's all that had to be said. But we read also, right after that, he spoke unto them and to all in his house the word of God. He probably followed the message of the gospel with the call to repentance and the way of describing us as our sin. And that's what we read here too. We read, first of all, the new birth by the Spirit. Then we read about the gospel in verses 14 and 15, 16. And then we read the reason that God sent his Son in verse 17. After that, verse especially 19 and 20, we read about our sin. And to believe that for ourselves is being repentant before God. That I believe that I loved darkness rather than light. That I believe that I hated the light because my deeds were evil. That's how we have to come guilty before God before we believe on Christ in the right way. Paul makes that quite plain in Romans 3. As I mentioned, the first part describes our sin and then the result of it, first of all, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. He then begins with, but now. Now the gospel. Now the answer. After you are knowing your guilt. And I would ask you, have you learned your guilt? Have you learned the whole message of Christ? And we must know the whole message of Christ. We must know what he is teaching. And he is himself teaching here the way of the new birth, the way of the gospel, and the way of repentance. Peter gives strong warning after the day of Pentecost. He continued to bring the message of the gospel. We read in Acts chapter 3 about Christ being a prophet. God promised that he would raise up a prophet. He promised that to Moses, a prophet like unto you I will raise up of your brethren. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with Abraham, saying, unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So Christ not only died for our sin, but he must be the one, through his word, to turn us from our iniquities. He was telling Nicodemus here, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He wasn't just speaking objectively of other people. He wasn't speaking of the Gentiles. He was speaking to Nicodemus. And he is speaking to you and me. Christ, the prophet, is speaking. He's teaching. And if we don't hear that teaching, Peter said, and Luke wrote it in the book of Acts, they shall be cut off from among the people. We will not be disciples. We will not be learners. We will not be those that enter the kingdom of God by the new birth and by faith. If we are those who accept part of Christ's word, and especially the part of the gospel. As I said, there's a lot of difference of opinion on the new birth. Sometimes you ask people if they're born again, they come back with a question of, are you such and such? As if that isn't applicable for all of us. It isn't applicable for the teaching of our church. That is sadly what's happening. Nicodemus had to know it. That's why Christ said, art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? He should have known them. Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel 36, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Very plainly stating the new birth. A new heart will I give you. Jeremiah wrote about it in a different way. God said, I'll write my laws on your heart. That is the result of the new birth, of the Spirit changing our heart to submitting to God's laws, obeying God's laws, and knowing by them our guilt, rebelling against them. That all is part of the new birth as it was known in Israel long before this, and Nicodemus should have known it. But God here is teaching through his Son, the prophet, speaking of him as the one is inferred here, lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Christ to be lifted up on the cross. God gave him, and we know the purpose for it. God so loved the world that he gave his Son so they would not perish. He would die in our stead. He would shed his blood to cover our sin. God sent his Son not to condemn the world. In one way, he does condemn the world because he says men love darkness rather than light. He gives the condemnation so we will come to faith. He gives the way of repentance so we will look for a way out so we're no longer perishing. He gives the problem. He gives the answer. We must see both. Sadly, many don't see the problem. The problem is you and I. The problem is we are sinners. Sinners under the law, and sinners, sadly, against the gospel. Isaiah said, when we saw him, there was nobody that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Isaiah shows us the way of repentance in Isaiah 53.
before he showed us the way of the gospel of Christ, Father, in that chapter. There we have the gospel very plainly, but equally plain, your and my sin. He was despised and rejected of men. They saw no beauty in him. What a terrible thing to see Christ other than what he is, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He should be the fairest of 10,000 to our soul, but he's not that in the beginning. In the beginning, we love the dark. We want to hide from him. As he said the night before he died, if I had not spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He said they hated me without a cause. We do not want the prophet to teach us, even though we may want, in some ways, the priest, so that we won't go to hell, so we will go to heaven. Probably more those fears and hopes than the way of deliverance from our sin. Before we come to a realization of not perishing, we must come to a realization why we're perishing. Verse 19 again, this is the condemnation. God didn't come to condemn the world, but the condemnation is there because we refuse God and his law. We refuse Christ in the gospel. We love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Christ is described as the light already in the beginning of this epistle of John. We read in John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. We don't understand it. When we do understand it, we love darkness more than light, sadly. Worse than that, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. God did it in his love. But also, if we refuse that love, he that believeth not shall be damned. The world through Christ must be saved, as we read the last part of verse 17. That's why God sent his Son, to teach us to die for us. And when we think of the new birth, that's also connected with Christ himself. As Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, quickened together with Christ. Quickened there means the same as being born again by the Spirit. Sometimes we read here, except a man be born again or born by the Spirit. Sometimes we read quicken, when Paul wrote to Titus, by the washing of regeneration. So there's different ways in which it is spoken of. As I mentioned earlier, James writes that he begot us by the word of truth, by the word of God. Do you believe the word? Has it convicted you? Do you believe the word? Has it brought you salvation? Hear the voice that entreats you, or return ye unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you, or return ye unto God. He is of great compassion and of wondrous love. Hear the voice that entreats you. Hear the voice that entreats you, or return ye unto God. Or return ye unto God. What a message. The message of salvation.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.